So, very good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to our interview program this week. And this week, I've brought a topic that we will discuss on the US-China competition and the implication on Cambodia. And we have an honor to join with us by Dr. Nettita Chandimai, a research fellow at the Center for Advanced Research and Legal Study of the Asian Region Institute. So, welcome back, Dr. Chandimai, to our interview program.
Thank you for having me and Jim Ripsu, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to listen to our talk today.
Thank you, Dr. Chandimai. And regarding our topic today, for the introduction, we've known that the US and China have been the long-standing competitor in terms of strategy, economy, commerce, and trade, and so on. And it is indeed so quite the implication on small states like Cambodia as well as regional at large. So without further delay, the question to you, Dr. Chandimai, how do we characterize the US strategy toward China, and what are the essential elements of China's continuing strategy toward the US?
According to its 2022 National Security Strategy, the US described China as the most consequential geopolitical challenge. And I quote, "the only competitor with both the intent to reshape the international order and increasingly the economic, diplomatic, military, and technological power to advance the objective." The US strategy towards China is threefold. First, the US plans to invest in the foundations of its competitiveness, specifically in the technological, economic, political, military, intelligence, and global governance domains in order to outcompete China. Second, the US plans to align itself with its networks of like-minded allies and partners. We can already see the resemblance between the US strategy along with NATO's strategic concept, EU strategic compass, the AUKUS agreement, and the Quad Alliance, and Japan's new national security strategy. And third, the US strategy is to compete and contain China's expansion in order to defend its interests by focusing on the first two elements, which is to invest and align. To sum up, according to Secretary of State Antony Blinken in 2021, he stated that the US policy towards China is competitive when it should be, collaborative when it can be, and adversarial when it must be. On the other hand, as for China's strategy towards the US, it is not explicitly disclosed like the US strategy towards China, but we can analyze the essential elements of China's strategy against the US through its behaviors. I believe that China's national strategy to compete with the US is to displace the latter as the global leader through economic growth and the advancements of its military and technological capabilities via increase in investments. Most importantly, China is also competing with the US for hegemony in Asia by increasing its sphere of influence and building partnerships with Asian states through the economic route, for example, the Belt and Road Initiative.
So, thank you, Dr. Chandimai. Regarding the bilateral meeting with the the leader of both countries, President Joe Biden and President Xi Jinping, back to last year on November 2022, along the G20 summit in Bali. It was the first meeting ever for both leaders in a face-to-face meeting. So, to what extent has this meeting changed the course of the tension as far as the management of their relationship is concerned?
Well, the meeting was described by both sides as in-depth, candid, and constructive, to which President Biden stated that as leaders, we share responsibility to show that China and the US can manage our differences, prevent competition from becoming anything ever near conflict, and to find ways to work together on urgent global issues that require their mutual cooperation. Meanwhile, after the meeting, President Xi stated that we need to find the right direction for the bilateral relationship going forward and elevate the relationship. 2 months after this meeting, the US House of Representatives has voted in favor of forming a new select committee dedicated to competing with China, initially to investigate and submit policy recommendations concerning the status of the economic, technological and security progress of the Chinese Communist Party and its competition with the US. In response to this news, China has merely stated that they hope the relevant US politicians view China and the China-US relationship in an objective and reasonable light, proceed from the US own interests and the common interests of China and the US, head towards the same direction with China, and promote the development of the China-US relations based on mutual respect, peaceful coexistence, and win-win cooperation. Although it seemed like the volatile relationship between these two great powers have calmed down for a brief period of time, which even included a scheduled visit by Secretary Blinken to Beijing, President Xi was even reportedly going to meet Mr. Blinken himself. In an unexpected twist of events came the balloon saga, which has deflated any previous efforts to mend the relationship between the two powers. As we know, on the 31st of January, a suspected Chinese spy balloon entered the U.S. airspace, to which the U.S. has stated that the balloon's presence was a clear violation of the U.S. sovereignty and international law. In response to this, China has expressed its regret and claimed that it was a weather airship that had been blown astray, and had urged calmness and warned the U.S. politicians, along with the media, not to overhype the situation as a pretext to attack and smear China. Then on the 4th of February, the U.S. made the decision to shoot down the alleged spy balloon, to which China had accused the U.S. of overreacting and violating international practice. Since then, China has rebuffed the U.S. efforts to arrange a call between the two countries. It is safe to say that with this balloon saga, the relationship between the U.S. and China has taken several steps back again.
So thank you very much, Dr. Chandima, for the precise answer to the question regarding the meeting between President Zhou and President Xi. So in addition, the tension between the two powers remain a concern for the implementation of the diplomatic relation in Southeast Asia and in relation to the Indo-Pacific strategy that is influencing the international community. In this regard, what will be the consequences for the strategic management of the two power in these two regions?
As part of this intense rivalry between the two superpowers, we can see both countries are trying to rule states in Southeast Asia and the Indo-Pacific through either security or economic partnerships bilaterally or multilaterally. The Quad and AUKUS as examples for security initiatives between the U.S. with its like-minded allies in their objectives to contain China's expansionism. As for the economic route to counter China, the U.S. launched the Indo-Pacific Economic Framework to reaffirm its engagements in the region. On the other hand, we have the Belt and Road Initiative and China's engagements with the RCEP Free Trade Agreement for China to increase its economic engagements multilaterally and bilaterally with countries in Southeast Asia and the Indo-Pacific. If the competition between China and the U.S. continues in this route, in my opinion, it benefits the Indo-Pacific and Southeast Asia, as it presents opportunities for these states to engage with the superpowers positively. This gives the states in the region the choice to choose which frameworks is best for their national interests and developments. However, if this competition intensifies further and descends into the root of proxy wars, like during the competition between the Soviet Union and US during the previous Cold War, it would, of course, prove to be very dangerous for states in both Southeast Asia and the Indo-Pacific. As such, states in these regions should engage and cooperate with one another, and we should not allow the great power politics to affect the regional relationships in order to ban against the volatility to ensure that our region will not be turned into a playground in this great power rivalry. We should respect each other's non-aligned or aligned status and strictly adhere to the principles of non-interference in international law.
So on the other note, it is quite sensitive that most foreign analysts and journalists always observe that Cambodia is weak at neutralizing its strategy and foreign policy on both the US and China. However, there is no clear basis for addressing this without such consideration. So on the ground, how should Cambodia as a small state maintain its stand to balance her relationship with both powers?
Depending on how you look at it, but the heightened rivalry between these two great powers is heading or is already in a new Cold War. During the previous Cold War between the US and Soviet Union, Cambodia had been immensely affected, which led to the coup against His Highness King Norodom Sihanouk, which then, as we all know, led to the rise of the Khmer Rouge and its genocidal regime. Now, in this environment, if there are opportunities to do so, in my opinion, Cambodia should uphold the principles of international law and engage with all actors in the international community if we see that it fits in our national interests of peace, stability, security, and development, while maintaining our permanent neutral non-aligned status to prevent ourselves from becoming pawns again. Cambodia should also focus on strengthening multilateral and bilateral relationships with other like-minded states in the regional and international community in order to lessen our dependency on just a few states alone to protect our interests.
So from your point of view, how do you see this great powers competition years ahead of the current intensification? And how do you see any possibility for Cambodia to gain interest from this crowd?
In my opinion, this rivalry between the US and China will only intensify for many years to come. But of course, we can't be sure if it will intensify militarily or economically. Both sides are deeply suspicious of the actions and intentions of the other country. China remains dubious of the US promises to support the One China policy and to end its relationship with Taiwan. China also believes that the US continues to block its efforts to assert what it believes to be legitimate claims over the territories in the South and East China Seas, while the US feels increasingly threatened by China's continuous growth of its economy and the advancements of its technological and military capabilities. Most importantly for Cambodia, this great power will also see an increase in competition for the regional hegemony over Southeast Asia. As I have mentioned previously in the last question, if this rivalry continues on this route of both superpowers trying to positively woo states into their camps with economic and or security initiatives, it would be beneficial for Cambodia as we would have multiple platforms and opportunities to cooperate and engage with the superpowers. However, if this great rivalry turns into the previous Cold War mentalities of deploying tactics of regime change, proxy wars, and foreign interferences into the internal affairs of sovereign states in order to manipulate the regional and or international order to fit in either of the superpowers' views, then it will be very dangerous, not only for Cambodia, but other states in Southeast Asia as well. This is a type of development that we need to keep a closer eye on in order to reassess our foreign policy accordingly. Until then, we need to maintain our non-aligned stance and observe.
So thank you very much, Dr. Chantima, for the answer. And ladies and gentlemen, our interview today has now come to an end. And once again, I would like to pay my sincere appreciation to Dr. Nathita Chantima for your time and your kind contribution to share the precise view on the topic regarding to the US-China competition and the implication to Cambodia as a small state in Southeast Asia.
Thank you for having me. Again, it's an honor to be invited to join this talk.
So yes, thank you so much, Dr. Chantima, for joining us. And I look forward to talking with you again on the future episode.
Thank you, same as well.
Please stay safe and have a nice day.
Thank you, you too. Have a great afternoon.